Fab Lab Podcast, Episode 59, The Cost of Not Defining Expectations. Welcome to the Fab Lab, the stone industry's only podcast dedicated exclusively to the business side of your stone shop, where we focus on improving operations inside the business so we can experience more life outside of it. So let's get down to business. Welcome back to another episode of the Fab Lab Podcast. Wes, it's good to be with you.
Great to be back. Looking forward to finish up this fourth and final episode of Defining Expectations.
Yeah, this is a good one. This has been an important one. We're going to wrap it up, kind of tie the bow here on the knot of defining expectations. Today, we're going to talk about the cost of not defining expectations. And it's important to consider this, because reality is doing this work is a lot of work. And you might be asking yourself, my gosh, I've got 10,000 things to do. Does it really justify not doing those things, not putting out those fires, not going and solving the problems that are occurring in the business? Is it really worth putting that off so that I can do some of this work, you know, in the short term of defining expectations, establishing, you know, measurable standards, timing, tolerance, those kind of things? You know, the fact is, we could just tell you, yes, it's absolutely necessary. You have to do it. But I think once you consider the cost, we're going to outline the three costs of not defining expectations. And then, fellow fabricator, you can kind of evaluate it yourself. You can determine, is it really worth not defining expectations? So we're going to get into that today, episode 59 of the Fab Lab Podcast. But before we do, a word from our sponsor, the No-Lift Install System. Now, No-Lift System is determined that most shops, the average shops, sends a shop guy to the field to help on install between 1 and 2 times per week per install crew to put heavy and awkward countertops up on those cabinets. And they do that because they care about their installers. What they may not know is that that costs them about $125 a trip. And so if you're sending, fellow fabricator, a shop guy out to the field to help on install twice a week to help your install crew, that's costing you $250 a week, $1,000 a month, just in lost shop labor. Fantastic thing about the No-Lift Install System, you can finance it for $169 a month. So do the math on that, Wes. $1,000 minus $169, I mean, even a stone cutter can do that.
It's worth it. That's how much it is.
It's $800.
Yes.
You buy the No-Lift System on financing at $169 a month. If saving shop labor going to the field is the only thing you take advantage of, fellow fabricator, it's putting over $800 a month in your pocket month one. The ROI on this system is absolutely phenomenal. Not to mention all the other advantages that the No-Lift System has. So, fellow fabricator, if you'd like to put another $800 a month in your pocket, not to mention alleviate all that wear and tear and strain on your installers, not to mention keeping your shop guys in the shop where they're productive and where they're actually going to help your shop get stuff done so that your installers can leave on time for a change, you got to check out NoLiftSystem.com. Check out their financing, get some information on the cart, watch all their awesome videos, check them out on Instagram, check them out on their Facebook page, check them out on their YouTube channel, all kinds of information. You cannot go wrong with the No-Lift Install System. So check them out today at NoLiftSystem.com. So now back to our episode, back to the topic here. We're wrapping up this series on defining expectations. Today we're going to talk about the cost of not defining expectations, and there's three of them, Wes. Number one, it's the frustration for the people involved and the turnover that occurs as a result. Number two, it's the chaos and confusion. It's the drag on productivity within the shop. And number three, it's the mistakes and the rework. It's expensive to buy new slabs. We're going to talk about all three of those. So number one, the frustration and turnover. You know, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode about being a customer. You don't get what you expected. You know, what's your intuitive, what's your emotional response to that?
Anger. If I don't get what I want,
yeah,
I'm mad.
Yeah, it's frustration.
It's easy to attack the other side.
Yeah, and so that's what happens. A lot of times you look at install, they get out there, there's a return polish not done. It's happened again. It was on the template. This is the shop's job. If those expectations aren't being clearly communicated so that the shop performs that, an installer can get really frustrated. The same thing is true at every level of the business. Every time there's a transition, every time one of those providers within the operation provides his work to the customer, the next position in line, if their expectations aren't being met, it's frustrating. And here's the next side of this. If they're left to defining their own expectations, the customer is always going to, in a sense, gravitate that this is your job. I shouldn't have to do a return polish. Well, now, that may be true if the supervisor or the owner defines that as the expectation, but the customer is always going to gravitate towards somebody else didn't do their job. If the information wasn't there for a major up technician, the sales department didn't do their job. Machine operator's looking for the countertops to mill, the Sawyer didn't do his job because the cart wasn't where it was supposed to be. And if that's not resolved, if that lack of clarity isn't clarified by the supervisor defining the expectations and making it crystal clear at what point each position is supposed to do that work, oftentimes that frustration will not just be frustrating, and it is frustrating, it will build to the point where professionals will say, I'm not willing to do your job forever. And if this isn't going to be fixed, I'm not going to do your job. I'll go find a place that can run their business, that can manage their business for that satisfaction and not feeling like they're being taken advantage of. And so that's the first thing. When you lose, oftentimes frustration results if it's not corrected, if it's not resolved, if expectations aren't clarified, then frustration will build to the point where somebody takes off. And now you're talking turnover. And the cost of losing a highly skilled position in any position of the business, it has a cost of tens of thousands of dollars. While you look for their replacement, while you train their replacement, the cost of overtime, the chaos that ensues, the brain drain that occurs, you cannot afford to lose a skilled employee because expectations aren't clear and haven't been made obvious to everybody involved where that handoff occurs, where that provider, you know, has clear expectations so he knows exactly what to do and when, so the next person in line gets what they expected so they can do their job in a timely fashion to meet the expectation that their customer has. Now, for an installer, it is the customer, but it also might be getting home at a reasonable time. If they're out there doing work, wrapping up something that the shop, in their mind, should have done, and it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever, huge frustration and huge potential, huge risk for the company for turnover. So number one, the frustration and turnover is the first cost associated with not defining expectations. Number two, we get into confusion and chaos. So this is where the next person in line, the customer, has to go looking for information. CNC operator turns around, goes to look for the next job to machine, and there's a cart there, but the material's wrong. His work order says this job is supposed to be this color. The material on the cart, it's a different color. He goes, oh no, shoot. Did the sawyer cut the wrong job? Or, oh no, shoot, where's the cart? What happened here? All of a sudden, these red flags go off. He wants to do a good job. It's his job to machine the right countertops. Maybe before he actually goes and looks at the pieces themselves, he overreacts a little bit. It's happened again. He cut the wrong job. Oh shoot, I better go tell the production manager that the sawyer cut the wrong slabs for this job. So the production manager goes, what do you mean we cut the wrong slabs? Oh crap, that's going to cost us a ton of money and a delay. He goes and grabs the sawyer. I think you cut the wrong material. He panics and freaks out. Oh shoot. Oh no, actually what it was, the expectations for the sawyer were never established for where those carts with the countertops were supposed to go. So actually the cart with the countertops was there all along. It just hadn't been made clear where they were supposed to go. And so this chaos ensues. Maybe it's 15, 20 minutes. You get 3-4 people involved in this, all for nothing, all because the production manager didn't specify, didn't make his expectations absolutely crystal clear where those countertops on that cart are supposed to be placed before that job is done. So really, in essence, confusion and chaos makes your operation inefficient. You lose productivity when people are having to go back retroactively to get answers to their questions, to finalize things. If they're apprehensive about making a mistake, good for them. They stop to make sure that a mistake didn't continue through the shop. But if it's all for naught, man, it's lost productivity. I like to use the example of Mr. Incredible, the first movie when he's running across that bridge to try and get to the other side, mm-hmm. the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. And all those guns pop out of the wall and they shoot all those sticky rubber balls. Well, the first one he throws off, the second one he hucks, but then two or three hit him and he can only get two of them off. And by the time he gets to the third one, three more have hit him. Next thing you know, he's 3/4 of the way across that bridge.
It's too much.
It's too much. It's just too many. And that's what happens if you look at an operation in its totality. If you're not defining expectations, that kind of scenario is happening in sales. It's happening in scheduling. It's happening in templates. It's happening at the cutting. It's happening on an install. It's happening, in the finance and admin department, because, you know, you got one scenario where the installer's expectations not clear. They're supposed to tell the bookkeeper that the job's done, send them the bill. If you don't do that, you don't send them the bill, and you don't get paid on time. The reverse of that is you don't get the job done. The bookkeeper sends the customer the bill, and now they're ticked off because they got a half-finished job that they're getting an invoice for. So, I mean, this kind of stuff plays out at every level.
Yeah, I'm on the SFA, and the amount of times I see pictures of guys saying template ready with a picture of cabinets not installed or cabinets completely covered with stuff, just stuff. And it takes so much time to clear that off. It's such a hiccup that if they were ready, say you got 3 templates that day, well, now you're spending how much time trying to clear off and not damage something, right? But it puts you behind.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so this is even true for your customers. You've got to set expectations for your clientele as well. And if you don't, it comes back to this. It becomes confusion, mm-hmm. becomes chaotic, lost opportunity, inefficiencies, you know, lost productivity. All of those things cost your business money. So that's number 2, confusion and chaos. Number 3, mistakes and rework. Now, you mentioned the SFA just a second ago. So a couple of years ago, they invited me to speak down in Vegas. We were doing a workshop on how to implement the process in my book, Less Chaos, More Cash. We were actually working through as a huge group, incrementally filling out the order of operations, how to document a task. And in the beginning, we asked the question, we posed this question to everybody in the room, you know, when was the last time an expectation wasn't met and what did it cost? And there was a guy there. He thought he'd communicated it correctly before he left on vacation for a couple of days, and the sawyer laid out the wrong slabs. It happened to be Calcutta. Oh. 2 slabs, $6,000 a piece, oh, 12 grand in material expense. It was a mistake. It was rework. It was, now, so do the math on that. $12,000 in material cost, and we haven't even got to the labor and the lost opportunity cost. And the reputation when you show up with the wrong material and it delays somebody else's job. Let's just take the material cost in and of itself. Let's say you have a 10% profit margin on your business and you now have to somehow recuperate 12 grand in material expense. What's the math on that? How many dollars do you have to generate to recover that?
If it happens to you, you don't want to know.
Yeah, it's 120 it's grand in business.
Yes.
Just to generate a 10% profit, mm-hmm. which is 12 grand, to recuperate what you just lost because someone cut the wrong slabs. The expectations weren't clear. They weren't defined. The process didn't exist.
And that's the thing, is that you have to be 100%. You have to bat 1,000.
Yep.
You could do right edge detail, right sink, right backsplash, everything. But if, say, the templater forgot to add 1 overhang, and now you got a counter that's flush to the cabinets.
Right.
It's still unacceptable, even though 99% of the rest of the job is on the money.
Take it back, start over, all because of a quarter of an inch, half an inch, mm-hmm. 1 inch, wrong material. It just, the cost of mistakes and remakes is so extraordinary when you're talking, in our industry, I just framed my own house here last year. You cut a 2x4, I even did a couple of walls that I had to knock down. A couple $100 in material. At most of those 2x4s I was able to chop up and put, you know, underneath windows else, and doors, yeah. Whatnot. Not the case in the granite countertop industry, ladies and gentlemen. You make a mistake because of a failure to define expectations, and it is literally cataclysmic to your profits.
Well, so, how many guys do you get calling, say, hey, do you got a remnant of this stone? I need to recut a piece of backsplash.
It happens all the time. That
24-inch backsplash, yep. You might have to buy a whole slab for that.
Yep, yep.
A 24-inch piece by 4 inches. Just because it's got to be.
And I think there was a lady in that same workshop that actually used that as an example. Somebody had cut a backsplash 4 inches short, 4 inches, 1 piece of backsplash, and it was another slab to finish the job. But all the profits completely mm-hmm. gone, plus some. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just the profit. It's just you're eating into the next job's profits, which brings me to the next point. You've got the confusion. You've got the rework. But you've also got the lost opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. Now you're spending time remaking something when you could have been making something that was generating profit. So that's number 2. Number 3, super important in this day and age of online reviews. Gosh, if you're making mistakes, if you can't deliver, you will get a reputation for not keeping your promises, for not doing what you say you will do. First thing, what do you do? What's the first thing you do, Wes, when you're shopping online for something you haven't bought before?
I look for reviews.
Yeah.
I want to see if I'm dealing with a reputable company, because there are websites out there, you'll see, oh, that's a good deal. That sounds too good to be too good to be true.
Yep.
You look at the reviews, they're all zeros or ones.
Three, like, even threes. You're going, I don't know, 3.5?
Yeah.
There's two other companies here that are fives.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the idea. What's my risk tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is true for making granite countertops. Google reviews, Yelp reviews, Howe's reviews, Angie's List reviews. Man, if you cannot systematically keep the promise that you've made to the customer by defining expectations from the start to the finish of your operation, it's going to damage. It's going to dent your reputation and your reviews are going to suffer. And you're going to have to work harder and spend more money acquiring new clients. We've got one of our best customers, our countertop shop, we picked up from another company, huge company, but was widely known for taking one or two or three times to get it right. They had such problems with this operationally. They always made it right in the end, but it was the frustration for this client going, I just don't have the patience to have, it delays my job. Yeah, they always made it right. They always did it. In the end, it was always right. I'm a professional company though. I want to deal with people that do it right the first time. So we picked up this huge account and they'll never go anywhere else because we have a system for showing up on time. It's the outlier when we don't. We do make mistakes. People are human. It happens. But we've got a response. When it does happen, where did we fail to set expectations? Was that the problem? Did we not assign it to a position? Did we not define the result in terms of measurable timing and tolerances? And did we fail to give the necessary people the right steps to perform that task so that we did show up correctly and on time with the countertop as promised? And so, man, the cost of your reputation, do you want to be known for being cheap but unable to deliver? Gosh, if you're using this, you're not going to have that problem. If you're not, you're going to always be chasing the next clientele because you're having to go find new customers all the time.
And if you do get a good reputation, if you have a great reputation, you can charge more.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay for a good reputation.
All day long. Mm-hmm. People will pay more for peace of mind. That's what insurance is all mm-hmm. about. Direct correlation there. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The last episode in this series on defining expectation. This is the cost of not defining expectations. So, yeah, is it work to do this work, to stop long enough? Yes, it's work. Like my buddy Peter likes to say, it's like fixing the wing while you're flying the airplane. It is hard to do both. But if you are going to have a profitable business that runs occasionally in your absence, so you have life outside of work, you've got to do this. There's just no alternative. The business will not run itself. The expectations, you will have two employees in your company, they will never both independently arrive at aligned expectations. There will always be a gap, and one of them will always be frustrated. And if those frustrations exist, you're going to lose people to turnover. That's costly. You're going to have confusion and chaos in your operation. It's going to put drag. Think of Mr. Incredible on that bridge. It's just going to make your operation less efficient. And if you don't do this, God, you're going to have mistakes that are going to just cost you tens of thousands of dollars a year. Wouldn't it be nice to have that money in your pocket at the end of the year? What would you do with an extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 at the end of the year? I can think of some things I'd rather do. So ladies and gentlemen, what a great episode. What a great series on this topic. Make sure you check in next week. We're going to kind of shift gears. We got an interview with a powerhouse industry insider. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it is awesome. We've already recorded the interview and it was fun. It was informative and it is going to be great. So make sure that you tune in next week for the next episode of the Fab Lab podcast. In the meantime, make sure you check out Fabricators Friends Instagram, Facebook page. Make sure you check out noliftsystem.com. Make sure you check out the Stone Fabricators Alliance website. Make sure you check out the Stone Fabricators Alliance website, their forum, their workshops that they're doing. Make sure that you consider supporting the sponsors that make the Fab Lab podcast possible. And until then,
happy fabricating.